Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
For those that are new here, last year I was working out, and while I was working out, I tore the top tendon off my shoulder. I tore two of the side tendons, and something got unattached from my bicep. It was a nice experience. I had surgery to repair it. And after that surgery, you were not supposed to move your shoulder or do anything for, I don't know, 6 weeks or 2 months like that. And then I started this thing called physical therapy. Let me just tell you, that was not fun at all. I had this physical therapist. I had two physical therapists. One was a guy, one was a woman. The guy was nice, the woman was evil. She was from Satan. That was the worst pain I had ever experienced in my life. I can relate to you women who have had birth. I'm sure it was along those lines, right? maybe not. But when I would go to her, I would know, oh man, this is going to be rough. Like, she would stretch me and have me do things, and literally tears would come to my eyes because it was so painful. The guy would kind of stretch me. He was more nicer, but the woman, wow, it was just really very painful. She had this crazy idea too. She had this idea that she wanted me to go home and work out and stretch myself. I tried it. It was painful. It was uncomfortable. I didn't do it, right? And so I went back to her and had those sessions with her, and not unsurprisingly, I did not have much growth, much improvement when I went back and saw her. And she called me on it. She said, are you doing the things that I told you to do? Well, I tried them, but they hurt, and so I was not doing those things. She said, these things are critical for you if you want to grow, if you want to heal. Therapy once a week, twice a week was not going to cut it. And I came to the place where I realized that if I did really want to grow and heal, I needed to put in the work throughout the week, no matter how painful or how uncomfortable it was. I needed to practice the things that she was showing me regularly, every day. When I did that, that's when I saw the growth and the healing really start to happen. That's when I gained flexibility. That's when I gained strength. My friends, that's very similar to a picture of our own spiritual growth. I know for myself, I went to church. I went to these sessions for decades. But when it came time to go home and throughout the week in between, I did not put into practice the things that I was being taught. I was not in the Word seeing what I needed to be doing. And because I did not practice those things, there wasn't much growth. What about you? Where are you at, right? I tend to think of a lot of us are probably bad physical therapy patients when it comes to at least being a disciple, a follower of Christ. We know what we should be doing, right? It's not easy, though. It's not comfortable. It costs. And it's a lot easier not to do it. Sometimes it's painful. And we want comfort. So we keep going to our weekly therapy session, right? At least maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, maybe once a month, or maybe a couple times a month. But we don't put our faith into practice. And we do not grow, right? We're probably still struggling with the same things that we've been struggling with. I'm here to tell you that unless you go out of here and put the things into practice, unless you discipline yourself, right, you will not have much growth. You will stay where you're at. A disciple of Jesus Christ is called to growth. Disciples would follow their masters around and every day try to imitate them. They wanted to do everything that their master was doing, right? I told you about Peter last week. We looked at him. He says, he sees Jesus walking on water, and what does he say to Jesus? Tell me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and imitates his master. He's a true disciple, right? And he literally walks on water. Are we followers of Jesus Christ? That's what we need to wrestle with today. And if we are we getting out of the boat and walking on water? And whatever that may mean for us, are we growing in our faith? Are we stepping out on faith, right? We like to feel good about ourselves, so you know what we do? We compare ourselves to other people, to that person who is not living the life that they should be, who calls themselves a follower of Christ, right? Well, I'm doing better than that person. They're a mess. I'm going to feel pretty good about myself and where I'm at. But here's the thing. The only person that we compare ourselves to is Jesus Christ. That is the standard that we're called to. Jesus has come to every person in here and said these words, follow me. He said that to every person in here, and maybe you've said no, and you're not at that place right now, or maybe you've said yes, but are you following him? Are you following him in what he calls you to do? Are you even looking at him, looking to him so that you know the example to follow? Are you putting those practices in during the week? Most of us, yes, we've started. Most of us have had our baptism type moment where we've made that vow, but are we following him today? We're all in church this morning. This is our physical therapy session, if you will, but are we doing the homework? Are we disciplining ourselves? Are we practicing the things that are found in the Word of God? Galatians chapter 6 is going to give us some things. He's going to give us some things of what it looks like to be a disciple. These are things that we can put into practice. Verses 1 and 2, brothers and sisters, if somebody is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The law of Christ, the entire law is summed up in one word, right? Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with everything that you are, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. So how do we fulfill that? How do we practice that? Well, we shepherd each other. When we see someone caught up in something, sin, we go to them, right? Maybe addiction, maybe materialism, maybe lust, maybe adultery, whatever it is, a disciple will move towards that person and address it. Will that be fun to do? No, right? Nobody wants to do that. Butt out, right? That's what people are going to think. But that's the call that we have. That's what Jesus would do. And that's what we're called to do. Maybe you're thinking, that sounds like something more of a pastor should do, right? Well, Paul says, brothers and sisters, we are a priesthood of believers. And we're called to be responsible to move towards each other when we see each other going in a bad direction. Are you willing to do that? Paul uses this word burden when we see somebody with this burden, right? And it has this meaning from the Greek of this excessive, extreme weight that somebody cannot carry alone. Followers of Jesus go towards people in sin with the intention of seeing them restored, right? With the intention to help them bear burdens. We don't discard our wounded. We don't say, oh, you're in sin, right? You don't belong here. No, we gently go to them. I've gone to people not so gently, and that's just exploded. No, we gently at least try to go to them. Hey, I'm concerned about you. I love you. But the direction you're headed, right, is going to drag you to hell. Are you willing to say those types of things to your friends, to your family? Paul assumed that there were things that people battle that they need help with. He instructs brothers and sisters to step out to restore people. The word restore in the Greek is this reference to the resetting of broken bones. Our goal is to see people made whole, not to put people down, not to people make people feel shame, not to make people feel guilt. Our goal is to see people made whole, get back to full mobility, right? What a privilege that is. So who around you is sinning? You're called to go to that person. I guarantee you it's physical level, therapy level, uncomfortable, but it's something that we're called to practice. Galatians 6:3, if anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Paul says to be careful helping people that you are not tempted. I don't think it's tempted like you're tempted by the things that they're tempted by. Instead, I think he's saying don't be tempted to look down on somebody that you're helping, right? Don't become prideful. Why? Pride prevents us from getting dirty. Pride prevents us from getting down in the mud and literally helping people. That person has got themselves in the mess. Luckily, I'm so much better, right? That's a dangerous attitude. You can't go to somebody if you don't have the understanding that you are a sinner just like them. Don't deceive yourselves. How do you prevent that? Verse 4 and 5, each one of you should test their own actions. They can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to somebody else, for each one should carry their own load. The Greek word here for test is this idea of checking to see if a metal was authentic. Is this real gold or is it fake? How do you do that? We examine our actions. We examine our actions without comparing ourselves to other people. People are able to justify sinning, doing things that they shouldn't when they're looking at other people. It's okay if I'm mean to this person because they're a horrible person and they deserve it. They did this to me, and so it's okay to do this back to them. No, we're called to the standard of Jesus Christ. Not to the standard of being better than Jim who sits next to us. No matter how people treat us, right? We can't justify doing wrong things because of what other people do. We can't compare ourselves to somebody else, for each one should carry their own load. That sounds like a contradiction, does it? Help carry somebody else's burden in verse 2, but carry your own load in verse 5. Well, the word, remember, for burden in verse 2 is this overwhelming weight that we can't carry by ourselves. There will be times that you're under that and you'll be desperate for somebody else to help you with that. If you don't, it'll just get worse. Verse 5, though, is talking about carrying your own portion. It's from the Greek word where a soldier would carry their backpack, their own backpack, the weight that was assigned to them. There are some things that we are meant to bear. In this body called the church, there are responsibilities and obligations that each of us have if we're a part of it. When somebody becomes a member here, they sign a sheet with vows. These are the things I vow to do for this church. These are the things that I will be responsible for this church, right? I expect people to pray, to be in prayer for the church. I expect people to serve in the church. You have talents, you have gifts that you were given. You were entrusted to by God to be used in the church, to build up the church, right? So that we can be on mission. If you're a part of this church, are you bearing that weight that's been entrusted to you? Are you participating in the mission? There is a mission, right? And you have a role in it, to seek and save the lost. That's part of it. To be discipled and then to disciple other people. You have a responsibility and obligation in that. Here's the thing. Bearing weight is not easy. It's uncomfortable. It's easier not to do it. But what you have to realize is that when you bear weight, you grow. I'm sure you've seen people walking around with these weighted vests or things that go around their ankles full of weights or carrying literally weights. People do that to grow stronger. a disciple, if you're called to grow, which you are, right? When you bear these obligations, when you bear these weights, you will grow. When you take on a ministry and you feel totally helpless for it, you're going to be so dependent on God that you spend time with him and you'll grow from that weight. I can't make anybody grow. I don't control you, right? So I can't make you grow. You are responsible for your own growth. You oversee that. Many people leave churches today because they felt like they weren't growing. And they blamed the pastor for that. I can't control that. I can't control that with you. I'm going to try and give you a plan, like a physical therapy person. I'm going to try and give you what you should be doing. I'm going to try to take you through those exercises on a Sunday or maybe a Wednesday. But then throughout the week, it's on you. It's fully on you. And if you are not growing, that's your fault. You have to discipline yourself. You have to put these things into practice, right? If you don't take it home and work on it and practice it, you will not grow. I mentioned about the Bible challenge, right? We're going to challenge you again to do that this coming year. We do that because we know that if you are connected to the vine, you will have an opportunity to grow. But more than just reading the Bible, you have to put the Bible into practice. You have to put the words into practice. You can't just read it. You have to practice it. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. A lot of Christians will just go to a therapist once a week and not do that. And then they wonder why they aren't growing. Every morning my alarm goes off. Every morning I have a choice to make to get up and spend time in God's Word. Every morning my bed calls to me and says, come back. I miss you. It's warm here. My house is really cold in the morning, right? It'd be a lot easier to stay under those covers. But I discipline myself to get out of bed, to get into that cold, to connect to the vine. And I pray that the words that I read, I will put into practice. I pray to be aligned to the God of the universe. If you want to follow Christ, you must discipline yourself to be in the Word of God and do what the Word tells you. Here's something that I realized. If you consistently fall or you consistently give in to the temptation, it's because you don't practice discipline. That's one of the major reasons behind fasting. When you fast, you regularly practice this thing where you say no to yourself, where you deny yourself and you deny what you want. You train yourself to deny yourself with food. Is that easy? No, right? It stinks. You're going to be hungry. You're going to want food. People are going to be eating cheeseburgers in front of you, right? But if you'll teach yourself to deny yourself what you want, you'll overcome those addictions that call to you with the same thing, right? You'll be stronger. You'll be better able to say no. Are you disciplining yourself? Are you regularly denying yourself? If you struggle with something, I can almost guarantee you that there's a lack of discipline in your life, in the spiritual areas. You know you should get up and have a quiet time. You know you should read. You know you should pray. But your bed is warm, and it's easier to not do that. When you stay in your bed, you have to realize you are training yourself in the wrong direction, right? You're training yourself to fall for temptation. That's what you're doing. Every day you make a decision. Deny myself, pick up my cross. Isn't that what Jesus said? Or give in to myself and embrace this temptation that's in my life. Every day you plant seeds. Every day you're training yourself and you're becoming the person that you're training yourself to be. I have accountability partners that hold me accountability if I'm not in the Word. I do that with them. Is that physical therapist level annoying? Yeah. Do we have each other's good in mind? Yeah. Verse 6, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Part of the obligation, part of what you're called to bear is to share good things with your instructor. The implication here is that you're supposed to help support those who teach you. In a broader sense, it's about supporting the church and the mission. Sometimes when people go to church, they have this consumer mindset. Do I like the music? Do I wish they would sing this song or this type of music? Do I like the preaching? Right? They make this all about them. And it's all about what they want. They think that we're all here for them. Paul says you should share good things with your instructor. And I think that means that you aren't just supposed to come here. You should contribute. You should be looking for a way to contribute. It's part of that backpack that you're called to carry of responsibilities and obligations. We have a mission. You're called to be a part of it, right? If you want to come to church and don't have a weight to bear, right, that's appealing, but you won't grow in that. That's what a lot of people want. Can I challenge you? Bear a load. Share an obligation, right? Give good things to your instructor. Howard stepped up, took on Haitian ministry. Praise God, right? That is a huge weight to bear. Thank you. Every load you take on, though, is a weight off somebody else's back. And every weight that you deny taking on is a weight that's put on somebody else's back. If you're a part of this church, bear the weight that God calls you to bear. Verse 7 and 8, I recently preached this very passage. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. God cannot be mocked. It's this idea of setting your face against God, right? Some people do things and they know that they're not right, but they do it defiantly, regardless of what God thinks, what God says, what God tells us, right? In other words, we're just going to do what we want to do. You need to realize that you will reap what you sow. The future you is being made right now. Do you get that? The future you, man, I wish I was a person of faith. Well, you're going to have to step out on faith, right? The future you is being made right now. The decisions you make today, you will harvest tomorrow. Confront sin. You have fleshly desires, right? You're thinking that it's not a big deal to give into them, but you are practicing giving into sin. You are planting a harvest that will come. People act surprised when their life goes crazy. I see people in church do this, right, when they reap bad things. Why are these bad things happening to me? What are you planting, right? What are you planting? They're ignoring God. They're openly defiant. And God says, I cannot be mocked. You are going to reap a harvest from this, right? Don't have a quiet time. Don't be shocked when you struggle with anxiety. Don't give God the first of your time, of your money. Don't be surprised when he doesn't bless those things. What are you knowingly planting? What are you knowingly excusing in your life? A harvest is coming, my friends. God told Cain this, Genesis 4:7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. But you must rule over it. My friends, sin desires to have you. Sin drags people to hell. There is no small, insignificant sin. It gives birth and grows to the point that it can take you to hell. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That thing that you struggle with is a burden. It's too heavy for you to bear. Paul says we're supposed to share burdens, though. What a privilege. But we're often too prideful to admit it, to ask for help. We set our face against God, and we wonder why we still struggle with these things. You will reap what you sow. you will pass it down to your kids. That's scary. James, I'm doing what is right, but nothing's coming up. Nothing good's coming up, right? I'm not reaping what I'm sowing. Well, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Keep going, my friends. Keep going. Are you tired? Are you burnt out? Keep going. The harvest is coming. Maybe not in this lifetime, but maybe in your kids. Maybe in eternity, you'll see it, right? You keep falling, discipline yourself, and you'll see freedom come from that. Maybe not today or maybe not tomorrow, but a harvest is coming. Let me say this too. Do you understand that the church is a hospital? When you go to a hospital, would you ever be surprised to be surrounded by sick people? No, you'd expect that, right? Then why do we expect to be surrounded by mature people in here? Why are we surprised when people are not mature? Why do we get mad at those people? Right? Shouldn't we expect it? Shouldn't we move towards those people and help them, help restore them, help reset their bones, help them in their maturity? Right? Why are we surprised when people treat us bad in church? This is a hospital. Man, I pray that we have drunk people come here. Man, I hope some immodestly dressed person comes here. I hope a prostitute would feel welcome enough to come here. And I pray we get the opportunity to share the good news with them, to tell them that there is a God who loves them, right? I pray we're not the people that says you are not welcome here. I pray that we're the people who not just lets people come in, but I pray we're the people that goes out and gets those people and shares the good news with them and walks with them in discipleship instead of pointing our fingers at them, right? The mark of maturity is that you're surrounded by immaturity. The mark of a church that is on a mission is a mess. Can you hear that? Show me one New Testament church that was not a mess. Show me one that did not have very serious problems. If you invite people who are immature into your church, you will have messes in there. But we go to those people. We help those people. We want to see those people made whole. We go gently to those people. That's who we are. And there's messes that come as a result of that. There's also growth, though. There's also maturity. And that's exciting to see. My friends, don't grow weary of doing good. Because when you see that person grow, it's all worth it. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We should be a church that seeks to help other people, helps people outside. We do that. This is how the gospel spreads. This gives us opportunities to talk to people, to get into people's lives and share the good news with, right? Even if those people are our enemies, that's what we're called to do. So we should do good to everyone. But here Paul is saying we have a special obligation that we should prioritize our church family, that we should love on this family of believers that we're a part of. Man, I want to pray. I want to listen for that. I want to seek God's will for that, what he wants us to do. I want to be directed by God for what he tells us to do, and I want to follow through with that no matter what that means. We help people with groceries. We help people with rent. We set up apartments. I don't know how many apartments we helped furnish here in the last couple years. I sent a text out about beds, right, and had two beds that were delivered the next day. I asked you guys for $50, and close to 300 came in. I saw people almost running back there to give towards that. People who did not have a lot of money to give do that, right? They were willing to sacrifice to help somebody. God bless you. God bless you in that. What a privilege we have, right? Thank you for your example. We've helped with utilities. We've helped with medical payments. We've taken people into our homes, right? Men have helped widows. I've seen people help orphans. This is what it means to be a disciple of Christ. We look at each other and seek to help. We take meals. We put on funerals. We visit, right? There was a young man who was having issues with his car. And I overheard another person when he heard that in the class say, hey, I've got an extra car if you need it, right? That's who we are. That's what we're called to do. What a great example. What a privilege. This is the law of Christ. We love. We love people enough to tell them the truth. We love people not to let them stay in sin. We love people enough to go talk to them about it and address those things. Right? But we share burdens when we do. We go gently to help in those things. We tell them the truth about the direction they're headed. We come to help restore, though. We carry the weight. We help carry the weight. We carry the weight that's been assigned to us. We especially help each other. Amen? I hope you're praying. And I hope you're asking God what he wants you to do this coming week. You've got some physical therapy homework to do. What does God want you to do? What is God calling you to do? What is he speaking to you about, right? You have the opportunity every day to either deny yourself or to praise your flesh. Every day there's a decision to do that. You're training yourself to head in one direction or another. And I pray you make the decision to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him. I pray that you do that. I pray that I do that every day. Pick up your cross. Don't grow weary, my friends. Don't grow weary. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Don't grow weary. There is a harvest that is coming. There is a mission that's too important. Amen? Amen. Layla Renee Frazier, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.